I've called this, given an unusual title really, Prophetic Revelation and a Truth from Ruth. Call it Truth from Ruth if you like. The reason why I call it prophetic, because there's so much here which is in fact prophetic, speaking of future types. Obviously Naomi is a picture of Israel. Ruth is a picture of Gentiles. Later on we should meet Boaz, of course, who is a kinsman redeemer, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, when later on in the book, as we shall see in the four chapters, Ruth has been really cared for by Boaz, and he arranged for his servants to drop handfuls of grain on purpose for her to pick up, and he really looked after her. But on one particular occasion, when Boaz was sleeping, and he cold nights he covered himself over, Ruth came and just crept under his, at his feet, crept under his covering. All the time when the threshing of the grain was going on. That is a tremendous prophetic scripture. It's a picture of Ruth, who is a picture of the Gentiles, picture of the church, coming under the covering of the kinsman redeemer, a picture of Christ, especially during the time of the threshing of the great tribulation, when the church is secure with the Lord, but the threshing is going on the earth. You see, that's why I call it a prophetic revelation, and it's thrilling as we go through this. So I'm not going to hurry it. No, we take our time. So as I, Naomi prefigures God's dealings with Israel. As you know, in the early chapter here, first few verses, that there was a famine in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means a house of bread. There's a famine in the house of bread in Israel, in Judah, Benjamin, around that area, around Jerusalem. And Bethlehem, just 5 miles south of Jerusalem, as you may know. And so they left there and they went into the land of their hostile enemies. Moab and Ammon were always enemies of Israel, because Moab and Ammon were, unfortunately, daughters by incest with Lot and the two daughters, as you know. And so it was a dangerous place to go. Really, it was the wrong place to go, but it's a picture of Israel in exile among the nations. So I say that's why I gave it a prophetic type. It's prophetic shadows looking at general situations. So that's certainly true. So later on we find that when it was a barley harvest in the last verse, 22, that the food suddenly was back in Bethlehem and they decided to return. And this is a picture of the Jewish people returning back to Israel and the land becoming fruitful. So we see these prophetic shadows and types are all there, and it's really quite thrilling. So, and of course, at that time, when she moved away from Bethlehem, Naomi with her husband, and they all have particular names. As you know, Bible names really mean something. And the name Elimelech, her husband, means God is my king. So when Elimelech died, Israel was without a king. Really? Moab was without her husband, Israel without a king. So prophetic types and shadows coming in here. So it experiences in a very sad way, because when Naomi came back in verse 20, the people said, was this Naomi come back? They've been away 10 years in the wilderness, if you like, in Moab. And, well, they had no right to be among the pagan nations. But that's, you know, the Lord took the Jewish people away in exile on two occasions. One from Samaria in 722 BC under the Assyrians, and 586 BC under Nebuchadnezzar of Judah and around that area into exile. And Israel was finished for a while. And then in AD 70, you know, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and Israel was scattered to the four winds, if you like, to the very nations of the earth. This is a picture here of Naomi going with her husband and the two sons over into Moab for 10 years. And when she returns, as I said, is this Naomi coming back after 10 years? She must have looked not very well. They couldn't recognize her. She's so unwell. And she said, no, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Verse 21, I went out full from Bethlehem, the house of bread. The Lord has brought me home again empty. And the Jewish people come home to Israel empty. They have nothing because they're wandering among the nations. But they're coming home now, as we know that. It's all part of God's plan. So there's a wonderful prophetic truth and shadows in the book of Ruth here. I called it Truth from Ruth. It certainly is. So anyway, we know that Israel was back in the land and restored fertility. Over the last century, they planted well over 200 million trees. And anyone from space sees Israel looking green all around this desert. So, yeah, Israel is becoming certainly very fertile in the land. And this was a promise that the Lord gave to Abraham and his seed, that I will prosper you. But if you disobey me, like in Deuteronomy, I will take you out from the land, which he did. So Ruth, looking at Ruth now, Ruth prefigures the Gentile church. Well, I know some Jewish people are saved and joined the church. But we find that the Gentiles are very far from God, which is obviously true. For example, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that the Jewish people were near because it had the Old Testament revelation of God. But the Gentiles are far off. But we've both been brought nigh by the blood of Christ into one new man, Jew and Gentile in Christ. So that's certainly true. But Ruth is a picture of Gentiles, pagans. They had their own gods, as you can see there. And really, the Gentiles are cursed. No question about that. And they had no knowledge. Yet, you see, Ruth, by grace, came to know the God of Israel. She married Boaz. And just like Rahab. You know, when Rahab, she eventually was rescued, as you know, from Jericho. And she married into Israel. Just like Ruth married Boaz, of course. Well-known, very wealthy man. And so she was, if you like, grafted in. Romans 11 says that we Gentiles are grafted in. Not grafted into Israel, we're grafted into Israel's blessings. Don't be grafted into Israel because they're still in unbelief. You're not grafted into unbelief. You're grafted into the blessings that God promised Israel. We look at that in Romans later on. So here, Ruth is a picture of the grace of God, Gentiles, you and me. Picture of the grace of God. Far off, has nothing at all. Way off in paganism, worshipping false gods, absolutely blind and dead, truth and to life. Yeah, the wonderful thing is, the book of Romans, tells us that God has blinded the Jews so we Gentiles could get saved. Mm. And how true that is.
Yeah.
But the Lord will one day take that veil away, as we know, from Israel, and many will be saved indeed. Mm. Ruth prefigures the church, as we know that. And she met, of course, the family, and Elimelech eventually died. You can see that in verse 3. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Elimelech means, as I said, God is my king. And Hosea says that Israel has been without a king for 2,500 years. They've not had a king since Zedekiah, king of Judah, way back in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar's time. They have prime ministers, they have presidents, no king. Hosea 3, verses 4 and 5 says Israel is without a prince and without a king and without a high priest. But they will come. So eventually, as you know, Ruth becomes the bride of Boaz, and he's the kinsman redeemer. He's part of the family, and he's wealthy enough to redeem Naomi's inheritance. She lost her inheritance when she moved out for 10 years. Maybe somebody else took over, and she lost it. And Israel's lost her inheritance for the time being, under God's blessings, that is, of course. But they will eventually come in. So eventually, when Boaz marries Ruth, and of the same family of Naomi, of course, and he restores her lost inheritance. And one day the Lord will restore Israel's inheritance once again. So it's all of prophetic revelation. That's why it's such a tremendous, short, rich book. So it is. So anyway, amazingly enough, as I said before, when Ruth sheltered under the covering of Boaz, kinsman redeemer, when I said it was a picture of the church being with the Lord, covered by the Lord, salvation, redemption, we're with the Lord while the great tribulation, the threshing floor in that awful period yet to come. So there you see, it is very much, it's a scene, not only of that historically, but it's also a scene prophetically about the end of the age, the end of the age. So you see there's tremendous breadth and width here. So there it is. So put it this way. Israel today is back in the land. There was a tremendous amount of teaching on Israel's future, leaving at that. We know here, as we move through these four chapters, there were times before Boaz and Ruth are married that he deliberately left grain and told his women to leave the grain there, you know, abundance of grain for her, and this is what it is. The Lord is very merciful. And Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus, who leaves an abundant. It says that Boaz got his people to drop them by handfuls. And boy, doesn't the Lord give us handfuls of blessing? We've been singing about blessing, haven't we, tonight?
Yeah.
But you see, in a strange way, both for us and later for Israel, blessings come out of barrenness. Blessings come out of buffeting. Well, that's true of the Christian life, isn't it? So we know that's true as well. So this particular time, as you move on through this, it is also a time of God's judgment during the time that lies ahead at the end of the age. So this is quite something. So what about the whole interpretation of the book of Ruth? Well, really, it's a message of redemption, isn't it? Salvation, if you like, for Naomi, for Ruth. Her husband had died. Her two sons had died. And when it says about the two daughters-in-law, Naomi said, look in verse 11. I'll explain this. It's called Levirate marriage of the Jewish people. They both wanted to stay originally, verse 10, Orpah and Ruth. Naomi said, turn back, my daughters, in verse 11. Why will he go with you? Are there still sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? That's a Levirate marriage. Within the marriage structure and the family life, if the husband died, the woman was to marry a brother. Well, if he's unmarried, of course, to keep the family line going and to bear sons, or daughters, family, children, to, in this case, Naomi. And verse 12, turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. For I have hope, even though I should have a husband tonight, should also bear sons. She's too old anyway. You've got to wait a long time. If I hadn't had two sons, that you would marry them then, how old will you be? And you can't have any family either. So she said, no, it doesn't work that way. You go back home to your people. Well, we know that Orpah did, but of course Ruth stayed. And it's really, if you go to chapter 2 for a moment, and verse 12, look at chapter 2 and verse 12 of Ruth. This is what Boaz was speaking. Well, go to verse 11 first. Boaz answered and said to her, well, Ruth has said she's a foreigner in verse 10. Boaz answered to her, it has been fully reported to me all you have done for your mother-in-law, Naomi, since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before, of course, Gentile, pagan. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to for refuge, and we have too. You come for refuge, find salvation under the God of Israel. That's Jesus. Oh, he's a Jew. We get that, but he is. So this is a wonderful story. It's a message of redemption, isn't it? But what about, there's a practicality about this for everyday Christian life. In all this, Ruth, a pagan Gentile, come out of the cold, as it were, joining Naomi, coming back into a complete strange place, back to Bethlehem, doesn't know anything about it, doesn't know any other Jewish people except the ones she married, and Naomi. But here, Ruth receives care, protection, and provision for all her needs. There's a practical aspect, then go and do that for other people too. Well, there's a prophetic element about this, as I've already mentioned a few things already. The fact that Gentiles are included in God's plan of redemption. Didn't take it for granted. That wasn't originally so. God had Israel in mind, but of course he had the church in mind, but hid it in the Old Testament. So we're included in God's plan for salvation. Isn't that wonderful?
Praise the Lord.
It's called grace, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
Grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's redeeming activity at Christ's expense. And so it was. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. So just leave Ruth just for a moment. We'll go to the book of Romans. Paul's letter to the Romans. We're on chapter 11. These three chapters, 9, 10, and 11, so often neglected by the church, if I may say so. When they're studying Romans, they jump from chapter 8 at the end to chapter 12 at the beginning. Miss out 9, 10, 11, I suggest they never should do. So if you go, well, let's go first of all to chapter 9, then chapter 11. Chapter 9. See, God's original rich planning for Israel, and all that the Lord revealed to them, is in verses 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul was speaking about how much he really is Jewish himself, as we know that of the tribe of Benjamin and the Pharisee of Pharisees, Benjaminite. Then he says about Israel, verse 4, who are Israelites, of course, to whom pertain the adoption. God had adopted Israel as his own. The glory, yes, he gave glory to Israel. He revealed himself in his glory to Israel in the tabernacle, The covenants, well, of course, he gave covenants, Abraham, the Davidic, and promise of the new covenant. Giving of the law, of course, the service of God. Yeah, Israel was called to serve God and be a witness among the nations. They failed it. And all the promises, there were so many of those too. Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, his Jewishness, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. Now go to chapter 11. That's what God originally blessed. And you and I have been grafted into all those promises and the new covenant as well. Chapter 11 then. Let's look in verse 17 and then 24. Chapter 11, verse 17. If some of the branches are broken off, that's Jewish people cut off, broken off from God through sin and idolatry. And you being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, the blessings of God. Olive tree, and the vine, and the fig tree, all symbols of the nation of Israel in different ways. We're the wild olives that are grafted in. But the Lord said, I can graft them back in again. Look at verse 24. If you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, that's us, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, I won't explain that for the moment. How much more will these who are the natural branches, Jewish people, be grafted into their own olive tree, back into the blessings of God? They will be eventually. They will be eventually, no question about it. So this is quite amazing. You see, go to chapter 15 now, a little bit of a side here. Chapter 15. See, you and I are handling a Jewish book written by Jewish authors. Luke probably had a Jewish grandmother, and we'll include him. It's a book written by 40 authors, covering about 1,500 years, 66 books. Jewish authors, as the Holy Spirit led, of course. So much revelation, especially through the prophets and the history and the early books. But in chapter 15 means we have a Jewish Messiah, a Jewish Savior. We've got a Jewish book, although it's the book of the Lord, we know. What responsibilities do we have towards Jewish people? I show gratitude. For we have revelation through the Jewish people. Without them, you wouldn't have anything at all. Nothing at all. You wouldn't even know. You'd be still in the dark. Still be pagans. But look in verse 25. Paul says, I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. He's been given money to take to the starving Christians in Jerusalem. For it pleased that those from Macedonia and Achaia, into Europe that is, to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. Wow. Well, I've just explained why Gentiles are debtors to Jewish people. Nearly all the church forgets that. They think God has finished with this one. No, he's not. We just said he's going to graft them back in again. So if Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is to minister to them in material things, whatever they need. I used to work for an organization that brought Jewish people out of Russia. At great cost, too. Very difficult thing to do. I was caring for them. Those who still send many gifts to the very poor in Israel. There are a lot of very poor people in Israel today. But that's beside the point. But you can see that we have responsibility. But there's a promise through scriptures that Israel is to be restored to a land like Naomi was restored to Bethlehem, the house of bread, will save them there. They're going to be redeemed by a greater than Boaz, whose name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And they will be restored not only to the land, they're going back to the land now. They're restored to the land, but they're going to be restored to the Lord. So this is giving us a right balance of the word of God, I think. See, calamity, let's go back to Ruth now. Calamity and tragedy struck, as you know very well. Back in Ruth chapter 1, verse 3, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left and her two sons. Two sons married, Orpah and Ruth. They were there 10 years. Chapter 1 of Ruth. Chapter 1, verse 4, 3, 4, and 5. And then you can see that they were there 10 years in Moab at the end of verse 4. Verse 5, Mahlon and Chilion also died. Woman survived with two sons and her husband. So there you have Orpah, Ruth, and Naomi on the scene now. We come to the meaning of, as I said, Elimelech means God is my king. We see the meaning of the other ones in a moment.